Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 28. Kapila's Instructions on Devotional Service. Text 38. Deho pidaiva vashaga kalu karma yavad Swaram rakam prati samikshata eva sasu Tamsa prapancham adiruda samadhi yoga Svapnam punarna bhajate prati buddha vastu. Word for word responsibly. Deha.
Deha.
The body. Api,
moreover,
Daiva Vashaga,
under the control of the
personality of
Godhead,
Kalo,
indeed,
Karma,
activities,
Yavat,
as much as.
Swarambakam,
begun by himself.
Prati samikshate,
continues to function.
Eva,
certainly.
Saasu,
along with the senses.
Tam,
the body.
Saprapancham,
with its expansions.
Adiruddha Samadhi Yoga,
being situated in Samadhi,
by yoga practice.
Svapnam,
born in a dream.
Puna,
again.
Na,
not.
Bhajate,
does accept as his own.
Pratibuddha,
awake.
Vastu,
to his constitutional position.
Translation.
The body of such a liberated yogi, along with the senses, is taken charge of by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it functions until its destined activities are finished. The liberated devotee, being awake to his constitutional position, and thus situated in Samadhi, the highest perfectional stage of yoga, does not accept the byproducts of the material body as his own. Thus, he considers his bodily activities to be like the activities of a body in a dream.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
The following questions may be posed. As long as the liberated soul is in contact with the body, why don't the bodily activities affect him? Doesn't he actually become contaminated? Doesn't he actually become contaminated by the action and reaction of material activities? In answer to such questions, this verse explains that the material body of a liberated soul is taken charge of by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not acting due to the living force of the living entity. It is simply acting as a reaction to past activities. Even after being switched off, an electric fan moves for some time. That movement is not due to the electric current, but is a continuation of the last movement. Similarly, although a liberated soul appears to be acting just like an ordinary man, his actions are to be accepted as the continuation of past activities. In a dream, one may see himself expanded through many bodies, but when awake, he can understand that those bodies were all false. Similarly, although a liberated soul has the byproducts of the body, children, wife, house, etc., he does not identify himself with those bodily expansions. He knows that they're all products of the material dream. He knows that they're all products of the material dream. The gross body is made of the gross elements of matter, and the subtle body is made of mind, intelligence, ego, and contaminated consciousness. If one can accept the subtle body of a dream as false and not identify oneself with that body, then certainly an awake person need not identify with the gross body. As one who is awake has no connection with the activities of the body in a dream, an awakened, liberated soul has no connection with the activities of the present body. In other words, because he is acquainted with his constitutional position, he never accepts the bodily concept of life. Dehopidaiva vashaga kalu karmaya vat swarambakam pratisamikshata eva sasu tamsa prapancha madhiruda samadhi yoga svatnam purnarna bhajate pratibuddha vastu. The body of such a liberated yogi, along with the senses, is taken charge of by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it functions until its destined activities are finished. The liberated devotee, being awake to his constitutional position, and thus situated in samadhi, the highest perfectional stage of yoga, does not accept the byproducts of the material body as his own. Thus he considers his bodily activities to be like the activities of a body in a dream. Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vanchakalpatrubhyas Chakribhasindhubhyeva Chapadidhanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasti Gaura Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So further description of the very exalted situation of the pure devotee, completely liberated soul, as we've been progressing through the verses, then it appears that each verse is going into deeper and deeper aspects of that great personality's purified situation. Is very remarkable and very unusual by worldly standards. Very unusual state of consciousness with different perceptions, different understandings of things which the average person within this material world is seeing in quite different ways. So it's very extraordinary and very amazing, actually, state of consciousness and position in general. Here, or yesterday rather, we read how that liberated soul, pure devotee, is no longer identifying with the body, and is not simply a matter of philosophy, but he's perceiving directly that there is my body and there is me, and we are two different things. And he, because he's so absorbed in Krishna consciousness, he's so absorbed with Krishna, then he just forgets about his material existence, and therefore on the material platform he may act in ways that people, at least on the level of his own bodily functions and interactions within the material world, he may conduct himself in ways that materialistic people will not understand at all, and they may become confused, or they can very easily mistake him, that there's something wrong with him. So here, this point is being taken even a step further. Lord Kapila is explaining that this very elevated devotee is so independent of his body that he's practically hardly in charge of his body any longer. Practically, hardly in charge. But because he's such a dear devotee of the Supreme Lord, and because he's still existing on this platform, so the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in order to assist him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead oversees what happens to his body and protects him like this. So, because he is so completely absorbed in that other realm, and he's become totally disinterested with this realm. So we mentioned yesterday some examples, Raghunath Das Goswami, how he was so independent of his body, people would have to remind him. And even then he wouldn't sometimes, even though he was reminded and he might acknowledge, yes, you're right, I must maintain my body, but even then he might still just continue to overlook those functions. Another interesting example is Srinivas Acharya. In the later stage of his life, or the last days of his manifest activities within this world, he went into a trance and he was completely so absorbed in that trance. He was in that trance for days. And the devotees were not sure what was the situation, but by placing a cotton swab, something of that sort, just underneath his nose, he was sitting. So they did that, and they saw there's some movement of air. So they understood that he was still living on this level. But obviously he was so deeply absorbed with Krishna that he was elsewhere, actually. His consciousness and his life, all those things were going on elsewhere, really. So they didn't know what to do. So they asked his very dear disciple, Ramachandra Kaviraj, that, can you do something? So Ramachandra sat with Srinivas and also entered into trance. And in that trance, he entered into Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan and looked around, was asking, where is Srinivas? In, I forget exactly his name in Krishna Leela, but he's a gopi in Krishna Leela. Where is such and such person? And the devotees there, the gopi said, oh yes, such and such, Srinivas in his gopi form. He has very important duty. Radha and Krishna were enjoying their pastimes in one lake, and Srimati Radharani's nose ring fell out, and she's trying to find it. And it's been days. She's been diving around trying to find this nose ring. Anyway, eventually they found the nose ring, gave it back to Srimati Radharani, and then Ramachandra brought Srinivas back. They both re-entered their normal, so to speak, from the material point of view, situations, and they came out of the trance. So these things are going on, actually. These are not things which go on very often, but these things go on. And with persons like who Lord Kapila is talking about here, then these types of things happen, that they may enter, become completely absorbed in that other realm with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this way they become totally detached from the functionings of their material bodies. But Krishna looks after them. Krishna looks after them. So there are different ways in which this can be applied. One is in a very direct sense, that Krishna may actually personally maintain the body of such a liberated soul, despite the fact that the body should not really be living any longer. But Krishna may continue to maintain the body of such a liberated soul. We saw that in the case of Srila Prabhupada, that in his last months the doctors couldn't understand, how is he still living? His bodily condition has deteriorated beyond the point at which the bodily functions would normally stop, and in other words, the body would die. But somehow or other, life is continuing, even though the facility for that on the material platform is no longer there. So somehow, Srila Prabhupada's life on the material platform was still manifesting by Krishna's arrangement. By Krishna's mercy, Lord Krishna was maintaining Srila Prabhupada, even beyond that point. Srila Prabhupada in the purport gives also another understanding, which is a very important understanding, that he raises these two questions. That even though one may be liberated, one may be a very elevated devotee, but if one is still in contact with the material body, which is functioning in different ways, then how could it be that those bodily functions do not affect that devotee? Because he's still within the body. So it would appear that those bodily functions should affect him. And seeing the body is performing these different functions, doing so many things, and also in the past did so many things for which reactions may still be there, then how is it that this person doesn't become affected by the reactions? So Srila Prabhupada gives an example to illustrate this point. An important example, that is the example of the electric fan which has had the plug pulled out. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna makes the point, sarvadharmam parityaja mamekam sharanam vraja aham tam sarva papebhyo moksha yishami ma sucaha, that if we surrender to him, he'll deliver us from all our sinful reactions. We'll become freed by his mercy. So in this example of the fan is unplugged, but the action is still going on. So similarly with the devotee surrenders to Krishna, and through doing that, Krishna unplugs the fan. One is disconnected from material life with all its consequences by Krishna's mercy, but still the body is functioning. Eating, walking, talking, doing different things. In the case of Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, fighting, killing. But the example of the fan applies. Even though the action is still going on that level, but there's no connection with the system. There's no connection with the system. And it's just a matter of time. The action will slow down and slow down and stop. But effectively, the whole process is finished, actually. Effectively, the whole process is finished. There's just some... It's just like incidental, practically coincidental functioning going on the material platform, but it's not really... It's not part of that whole system of material existence. So... Therefore, even though such an advanced devotee is acting on the material platform and may even be very busy doing many things, like what the ordinary conditioned souls are doing, and in their cases they're very caught up in the whole situation, but the liberated soul He is looking from a distance. The example is given here. Swapnam punar na bhajate pratibuddha vastu. He's awake in his constitutional position and he's watching this all going on. Just like a second person is watching a person. He is that distinct. Or swapna, just like a person who wakens from a dream, but the impression of the dream is still there within the mind. But he knows that that was not real. So even though he's perceiving that dreamlike condition still, but there's total separation from that. So in this way, a devotee, pure devotee, it observes the functions of his or her body with as much detachment as we may now observe some other person. We are out there, you're all out there on the streets and in the car parks and in the shopping centers, and so many people you see, and sometimes some people are struggling due to their overwhelming material desires. They may overshop and be struggling with so many bags, as they say, when the going gets tough, the tough go shopping. if all else fails, if you're down, if all else fails, buy something and try and just lose yourself in it. Yes, so in different ways. We were watching yesterday one young security boy in the car park in one shopping center, big car park, quite a long distance from one side to the other. He had to police the whole thing. So he was on a bike, on a push bike, and he had his rather fancy looking crash helmet on, and he had a walkie-talkie on the handlebars. And the people were calling in and he was speaking to them, and he was completely into it, looking this way and that, and then riding back this way, and then coming around again. He was completely into it. So you see these people and you think, gosh, what a shame. This person's just, you know, he's just in this silly little world of his, but he's so serious about it. So we watch the people doing these things. And particularly a devotee, as a devotee watches, then the devotee is just completely separate from that. Just like watching a film, practically. So in a similar way, the advanced devotee is observing his or her own body. That here is this body, look at this body, poor old body, undergoing so many things. But not implicated, no more implicated in his or her own body than we are implicated and affected by the various people we see and how they're caught up and in difficulty and involved in their whole situations with their bodies. We're watching from a different, separate perspective altogether. So the elevated devotee is also like that. We see in the case of Haridas Thakur, that he was so detached from his body that after he had been whipped in so many marketplaces, but because he was being maintained by the Lord, he didn't die. Anyway, when it all came to an end and the whipping was finished, but he was still living, and the people who were doing the whipping were too exhausted, and there was nowhere else to take him to whip. And they were in anxiety because they had failed to kill him. And they thought that they would now be killed because they had failed in their duty. So, Srila Haridas Thakur, he said, oh, really? You mean you'll get into trouble? Oh, okay. He just dropped dead on the spot. And later on, he just revived himself, or by Krishna's arrangement, because Krishna had other plans in mind for him. Krishna revived him. But it was not a traumatic experience for him, even death. Not at all. What to speak of the everyday goings-on which happened to the material body. Even death, it was not a big thing. Because he was in this other position, like watching a dream, watching other people, and not being affected by what happens to them. So it was a very elevated platform. Very elevated platform of pure, purified consciousness. When the spiritual body has become manifest, and one is now seeing through the spiritual eyes, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Valochanena Santasadaiva Ridayeshu Valokayanti. The pure devotee, whose eyes have been anointed with the ointment of love, sees Krishna with special eyes. Not just these eyes, which have now somehow we've increased or changed their capacity to perceive, but different eyes. In the purport to that verse, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explains that these are the eyes of the spiritual body that are being referred to. These are not just these same eyes which have now been somehow or other improved to see spiritually. So Krishna consciousness is such an advanced process, such a unique process. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Raja Vijaya Raja Guyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam Pratyak Shavagamam Dharamyam Susukam Gartam Avyayam. That this is the topmost knowledge, the most confidential knowledge, it's the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it's the perfection of religion. It's not just a matter of believing and hoping for the best, but not knowing, and in that way, unless you become a fanatic, there must be some doubt. No, it's not that, but actually pratyaksha. Pratyaksha, aksha means the eyes. Pratyaksharvagamam dharmyam. Because one gets direct perception of the self by realization. Therefore, it's the perfection of religion. So these transcendental books that we are distributing and the whole world of Krishna consciousness, which we're in and which we're inviting people into, is such a unique thing. They're such unique things. Not just a matter of change your belief, have faith in something else, give this a try, see what happens, like that. But pratyakshavaganam dharmam, the perfection of religion, because it gives direct perception. Because as one applies oneself on and on, one's perception changes. Oneself, one changes as an entity. And one's whole focus on life changes. Everything changes. So it's a very practical scientific process. And by distributing these books, we're giving people the opportunity to come into this world of Krishna consciousness, which otherwise they would have no chance of coming into practically. Even though other processes are there, other religious processes, but they're taking people just maybe the first step, maybe a second step, but then they start falling short, and too many weaknesses are there, and too much maya, and they just cannot go any further. But Krishna consciousness is that pure process that can take people, if they follow it nicely, right through the whole network of material life, onto the other side. And on the other side, in that purified state, then one is seeing these things for what they are. Not just thinking that they're like that, but seeing it directly. So we, of course, we're not realized. So our program, our process is to practice. The means and the end are the same. We go through the motions as if we were that on that platform. As if we were perceiving that, yes, I am a spirit soul. So we function in those terms as a spirit soul functions. Jivera Swarupa Hoya Krishnaram. Acting on the platform of spirit soul, even though we may not see ourselves directly as such, but acting in that capacity, being maintained by Krishna on that platform, even though it contradicts material existence, but Krishna's maintaining us on that platform, and gradually the realization comes more and more. Hare Krishna. So, another nice day today. Most of you had very nice days. Some of you, I think, had your best days. It was very, very nice. Very nice indeed. Very satisfying. Very purifying. And we'll come out and try and visit some more of you today. Get your association. Get a little purified. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.